All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was an Army aviator back in 1967 to 71. Want to welcome you to Veterans Radio today. This is our monthly benefits program. So this program is strictly for you. We are going to be answering questions about benefit questions, what changes in the benefits programs, anything else that you can think of that has to do with the VA and the VA benefits program. We're not going to be talking about VA health system today too much because we weren't able to get their representative to come on the program today. I got to throw out a little disclaimer here. We got an email this week that I thought was really interesting. After we sent out the flyer for the program, somebody sent me an email and said, is this a VA propaganda program? No. As far as a disclaimer is concerned, yes, we do get some sponsorship funding from the VA, but they're fair game, just like everybody else is out there. And we are as honest as we can possibly be with your questions, what your concerns are, what your gripes might be. And our goal is to help you find answers to whatever your questions are regarding the VA and the VA healthcare system and the VA disability system and everything else that goes along with the VA. So let me give you the number for today's program. It is 734-822-1600. That is 734-822-1600. No question is off bounds. Just keep it clean, folks. That's all we ask for because this is live radio. And before we get into the program, I want to thank our sponsors. We've been really lucky this year, and we're so grateful to have these people and organizations sponsoring us. Number one, of course, is the Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans' disability claims. For Legal Help for Veterans, give them a call at 800-693-4800 or go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. You want to do business with the government? You need to be certified as a veteran-owned business. For more information, go to their website, nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information about them and all the other VA centers around the country, just go to va.gov and everything is there that you need to know about your local VA medical center. Learn about these organizations and their services, as well as how you can support Veterans Radio by going to our website, veteransradio.net/our sponsors. So there, that takes care of the bill paying part of the program. As I mentioned earlier on, we're going to be talking with our experts, and let me bring them on the air right now. Number one is retired Air Force Brigadier General Carol Ann Falzone, who works with Legal Help for Veterans. Carol Ann, welcome back.
Thanks, Dale. Really appreciate you, and I am so glad to see my colleague, Michael Smith. So I'm glad Michael is joining us today. So welcome, and I'm really happy that we're going to have a great program today.
Okie dokie. And as Carol Ann mentioned, joining us after a rehabilitation leave is Michael Smith. He is the Director of Veteran Services in Washtenaw County, Michigan. Michael, welcome back. You're looking good. Unfortunately, we need to turn on your microphone.
It's good to be back, Dale. It's good to see you. It's good to see you also, General Fasson.
It is good to see everybody. For anybody who's, conducted any business on Zoom over the last 2 years, always got to remember to turn on our microphone. It's just one of our problems that we seem to have. Anyhow, as I mentioned, so I'm glad to have you both here. As I mentioned, these are our experts. I don't want to guess at the combined experience that they've had over the last probably close to 30 years, I'll bet, in helping people, especially you veterans out there, with questions about your benefits and all of the other things that go along with even trying to find out what benefits that you may be entitled to. How do you file a claim? How do you follow up on a claim? How do you appeal a claim? All those things are here right now for the next 40 some odd minutes to answer your questions. I got two events, though, that are coming up that I did want to mention. We talked about this on our last Veterans Radio program, and this is the Military Appreciation Weekend, which is in Plymouth, Michigan. This is a hockey tournament that's going to be running for 3 full days. It's sponsored by VCAT 9, Veteran Community Action Teams. I guess it's number 9. And it's going to be on March 18th through the 20th of this year. And we are going to be broadcasting on the 20th from the hockey arena. That should be experience. I hope they don't put us on the ice. That would be really dangerous. But I encourage you to find out more about this. And if you want to be a sponsor, all you got to do is hold on. Here it is. Where did she go? I got her number here. I lost her number. No, I didn't. I did lose it. I'll bring it back to you as soon as I find it. But yes, this is going to be on March 20th. We will be there live at the Plymouth Hockey Center. It's on Beck Road in Plymouth, Michigan, just off of M14. The U.S. Hockey Arena, there's part of it. U.S. Hockey Arena, 14900 Beck Road, Plymouth, Michigan. For more information, you can just go to USAHockeyNTDP.com. Or you can give them a call at 734-453-6400. And there's more information available on that. And as soon as I get the number for Roxanne, I will let you have that when I find it. Oh, well, anyway, there's that. And the other question or the other event coming up is that there's a great program at the Yankee Air Museum coming up on this Wednesday, March 2nd. And it is all about the Ford aircraft that were designed to start off the American airline industry. And for more information about that, you can just go to yankeeairmuseum.org. That's cool. They have some great presentations out there. And I believe it's only $10 to go and see this. I think it'd be an opportunity for you to really have fun. Anything military. And this goes for anybody out there listening. If you have events that you want us to go to or you want us to announce or promote for you, just send me an email. That's dale@veteransradio.net. And I'd be very, very happy to help you out with that. There's another event that's coming up here. Every Saturday and Wednesday here in Washtenaw County, there's a Veterans Resource Center program that goes on from about 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock in the afternoons on those days. It's run by Reverend Bob Bull. And the reason that I bring that up is I was down there on Saturday, and we ran into a veteran whose house was condemned because of contamination. He lived in manufactured housing. And his house had been condemned, and we were trying to find a place for him to go. And because, of course, it was the weekend, you know, you couldn't get a hold of anybody. And so we started calling around to motels and everything else, and they wanted a lot of money. And we finally found one that didn't want a whole lot of money, and we were able to put him in that one until tomorrow, until he can get some assistance. And that was one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County, because I know that they have assistance programs for homeless veterans. Am I correct, Michael?
In Washtenaw County, we don't necessarily have a program for homeless veterans. We collaborate with those who do have programs for homeless veterans. And the way in which we support them is through our Veterans Relief Fund. And we help both homeless veterans who are working with those other agencies. Once they find housing, we use that Veterans Relief Fund to assist with first month's rent, or we'll pay forward as many months' rent as we think will help a veteran get on his or her feet, as well as security deposits and anything else to help that veteran get into new sustainable housing.
Yeah, I was concerned about that because I know that all of the veteran service organizations that are out there, at least the ones I'm familiar with, American Legion, Vietnam Veterans, VFW, so on and so forth, all have kind of emergency contingency funds for their members if, in case there's a monetary emergency. And unfortunately, as I said, this was a Saturday or Sunday, and it wasn't anybody to get a hold of. And of course, you know, they can't write a check because the banks are closed, so on and so forth. So it was really, really kind of annoying. But I did want to talk briefly about the VA's website. And for those of you that know anybody, any veteran that's having problems with homelessness, and where, you know, they may be concerned about it, the VA's got a great website with a lot of great information that can help them out. And so I just went there today, and it says what, and one of the things is you just type in VA homeless veterans, and this page pops up and it says what veterans who are homeless or at risk of homelessness should do for help. And one of the things they should do, and I want anybody who knows anybody, here's a phone number for you. Are you ready? This is 877-424-3838. 877-424-3838. And this is a national call center for homeless veterans. And if the veterans do not have access to the phone or the internet, they are encouraged to visit their local VA facility and ask for help. And they will, sure that they will. The VA, it says, is committed to ending homelessness among veterans, and their focus is threefold. Number one is conducting a coordinated outreach to proactively seek out veterans in need of help. Connecting homeless and at-risk veterans with housing solutions, which Michael just mentioned there. Healthcare, community employment service, and other required supports. And collaborating with federal, state, and local agencies, employers, housing providers, faith-based and community nonprofits, and others to expand employment and affordable housing options for veterans, even exiting homelessness. I was not aware of all these things, but I just think it's really cool that these options are available to everyone out there. And I know that there are so many people across the country that are willing and wanting to help veterans, not just veterans homelessness, but homeless in general, but in our case, veterans specifically. In fact, there's a new apartment complex being completed out in Dexter, Michigan, where they have allocated, I think it's 6 apartments to veterans, homeless veterans. And each one of those apartments is being sponsored by a different veteran service organization, which is kind of neat. So it's again, it's veterans helping veterans. And I know that there are programs like this all over the country. I was on the phone earlier with a group down in Detroit, and they said, yeah, we do, as Michael said, we find out where there's housing available, where people can get, you know, funding to help them, deposits, so on and so forth. I mean, over the years, we've talked to a group out of Toledo, Ohio, called Veterans Matters. And they were a group that came up with the deposit money for apartments for veterans and so forth. So I really encourage any of you out there to check with your local VA, check with your local organizations, see how you can help. I mean, it's still amazing to me that there are homeless veterans. I just, for some reason, I can't fathom that they could be, you know, out in the cold. Depending on what part of the country, in our country, part of the country right now, it's cold, trust me. And I don't want to see anybody that happens to have to be out on the street. So let's see if we can do this on a nationwide basis and find out where we can get the help. Talk to people out there. If you know anybody in wherever you are on our stations, from California, you know, Minnesota, Michigan, let us know. And we will be happy to promote that organization, promote the idea, maybe even fundraising for those organizations, because I know it takes money to get these people into these houses. And this is just my appeal to you to help our fellow veterans. Let's keep them warm. You know, all we all want to ever want is just a warm place, you know, a roof over our head, food, and a place to sleep. That's all we need. And a little socialization, which is coming pretty soon. I know it. CDC is going to drop the mask pretty soon, we hope. And as long as there's not an upsurge, we're going to be able to come out of our burrows and start talking to each other again. So do that. Go to the VA, put in homeless vet, all kinds of information in there. I encourage you to do that. All right? All right. I don't know if any of you have any other suggestions where they can go to get help, or Carol Ann?
Well, Dale, I think your advice is great. And having Michael on is super because I would say the VA is a great place to start because in most VA medical centers, you've got your homeless coordinator. And that's a good place for that connection as a resource. And if you're fortunate to be in a state that has your county counselors or a parish, as you know, we call them county counselors, or in an area with a parish, those resources are phenomenal, as Michael indicated, or you know, a state like Michigan that has the Veterans Trust Fund that could go out after you get into your county and the resources. But to make that initial contact, in this case with you, that veteran, this was an emergency that popped up. But it's sad during this period, you know, with our weather like this, you'd be shocked at how many veterans are homeless and that are out in this cold. You know, we typically get prepared in October to have the stand down to prepare those homeless veterans with clothing and things, so blankets, shoes, socks, so that they're prepared if they can't find shelter. So, thanks for bringing that up today, because I think we need to make people aware of the resources that are available. Call your local VA and or your county counselors.
I just wanted to make sure that people understand, especially, you know, probably a lot of homeless veterans don't listen to our program, but the idea being is that we're there to help and that all you've got to do is reach out. We can't find all of you, but we're trying. As an organization, as a community of veterans, everybody looks out for other veterans. You know, it's like the old saying of, you know, we had your back in combat, we have your back now. And if you need help, don't be stubborn. Reach out. That's what we're here for, to help our fellow veterans. And I think that that's the message that I really want to get across to everyone, is that you're not alone. You're really not alone. All you got to do is kind of raise your hand where somebody can see it, and we'll be there to help out. So, yeah, I mean, that's where I wanted to go. I did want to get on that little soapbox for a while, because it just was so frustrating to see this guy yesterday so frustrated at not being able to find a place where he could go. And that, you know, we were able to finally get him into some place, but it was just, And Reverend Bull was calling everybody that he could think of, but of course it's a Saturday afternoon and it just wasn't going to work, but we did it. So there. So to all my fellow veterans out there, raise your hand. We'll come and find you and give you a lift up if we can. All right. All right. So that's enough on the homeless thing. Anything for either one of you to report on the disability side of the ledger? Anything new or exciting that we can talk about before we get into the little scary stuff? No? All right. I'll play the devil's advocate here. What are they doing talking about changing my ratings on tinnitus and mental health issues and what the other one was? Sleep apnea. What's up with that? Have you heard anything about that, Michael?
It's a proposed changes to the rating schedule that are currently in the 60-day review and comment period that's required by the Administrative Procedures Act for when a federal agency proposes any changes to rules. They have to publish them in the Federal Register and give stakeholders opportunities to review and comment on those proposed changes. And then, of course, afterward, they have to literally review all those comments and respond to all those comments. There's a possibility that those comments could cause the VA to change course and either drop any one of these proposals, or based on those input from other sources, change some of these that service organizations and other stakeholders feel might be detrimental to veterans. So, you know, they're just proposed changes right now. The reasoning supposedly is to make the rating schedule more consistent with modern medicine and what is now known about auditory issues that was not known when the rating schedule was updated, I think back in the 70s or even earlier. And of course, similarly, with the mental health proposals, the VA is wanting to make the changes so that the rating schedules reflects the updates in the DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Health Disorders, and come up with a more comprehensive evaluation of mental health disorders. And then, of course, sleep apnea. There is proposed changes to the entire respiratory schedule, and sleep apnea is just one of the conditions. So it's the same with the mental health disorders, and it's the same with all the other proposed changes. It's the entire systems that they're looking at. So with tinnitus, they're saying, and I remember when this rule was changed, and General Fasson probably remembers when it changed as well. The VFW was going after the VA because of their inconsistencies with rating tinnitus with hearing loss.
Right.
And they contended that tinnitus should be rated separately. If, you know, 10% for left ear, 10% for the right ear, and not just one 10% evaluation for bilateral tinnitus. So what the VA did is when they promulgated this new rule, they gave the idea that tinnitus is a standalone disability that is not connected to any other disability. And that was not what the VA rule intended, but that's what happened. And so what they're claiming is that they're now going back to make tinnitus a disability in the rating schedule the way it should be, which is a secondary condition connected to whatever disability is its source or origin, such as Meniere's syndrome, hearing loss, TBIs, traumatic brain injuries. And there's another one that's related to the heart, arteriosclerotic something. But these other four rated conditions have tinnitus as what they claim as a symptom, is what they're going to do. And so that's what that update is. And they're going to remove the entire ear and nose schedule because they're going to collapse it into the ear, nose, and auditory. So they're going to expand them, and they're basically showing the relationships that science knows about ear, nose, throat, auditory, that they are interconnected, and yet the VA has rated them on separate rating schedules for years. So in some of these proposals, there's some good things. I think the functionality ratings for the mental health disorders are good, because if you look at the rating schedule right now, the VA rates every mental health disorder, not just PTSD, every mental health disorder with the same criteria. And it's very unfortunate because schizophrenia does not have the same symptomatology as PTSD or dementia or Alzheimer's. And yes, Alzheimer's and dementia are on that rating schedule in the 9400 series, because it also rates neurological dysfunctions. So it's PTSD, anxiety, major depressive disorder, depression. All of those are rated with the same rating criteria. And it's time that it should be updated.
I was reading earlier today about that the VA disability rating system was first written in 1945, and it's only been upgraded kind of piecemeal over the last 75 years.
That is correct.
And so you still got some definitions of a disability from 1945, which probably has changed dramatically due to medication or just science in general. And I wasn't too concerned about this, but I just thought that, and Carol Ann mentioned earlier on that what's the term I'm looking for now? You know, it's not going to be grandfathered in. It's not going to, I mean, it is going to be grandfathered. In other words, people who already, maybe this can be clarified between the two of you, people who have already been diagnosed for the last 30 years or so with some disability, are they going to go back and change those disabilities? Carol Ann?
No.
You'll be grandfathered. But the big difference, I mean, I'm sure Michael has seen the phone calls coming in. So if you do, let's talk about sleep apnea. You know, that might be the big elephant in the room, because, you know, some people get 0%, even though the rumor is you get a sleep apnea machine and you're supposed to be given 50% right off out of the bat. Well, that's not true. And yet, veterans run around and say, because I got a sleep apnea machine, I was supposed to get, you know, 50% disability. Well, that's one of the, you know, wild rumors out there. But if you did get 50%, you know, people are calling in and saying, I'm going to lose my disability rating. No, this, as Michael described it very eloquently, this is all under proposal. I don't think any of these, and Michael, please correct me, as we've seen in the past, I think it, as these schedulers come about, I think it's going to take a good year or two for any of these changes to come about. It will be new claims that will be really affected, as we see coming down the line. I don't think anybody's ratings will be stripped. I don't believe that will occur. But I do think it'll be a change for the future. And as you said, with the psych areas, I think it will be good going forward. I mean, there will be a true delineation. Those of us that are medical, I mean, there are true differences, you know, a manic depressive versus Alzheimer's. You know, people shouldn't be rated the same way and evaluated. And so, you know, so I think there will be a change coming down the road. But that's the veterans' fears. Those have been the calls all this past week since this is coming down, the people going to be losing their benefits.
Well, I've heard that too. I mean, people get a little panicked when, you know, they hear rumor, you know, it's like rumor control. Remember when everybody was in the service, you know, rumor control just seemed to run everything. And the idea of them reevaluating some people that have been disabled for so long, I think was just a little frightening and nerve-wracking. Not frightening, nerve-wracking to some of these people. We need to take a real quick break. When we come back, we'll answer the question that just popped up on our screen here about the whatever it's called, CCAP machines. So we're going to take a break, and we will be right back after this. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Private Dale Hansen killed 12 Japanese soldiers in a one-man attack on their positions. Details after this.
They came from every corner of the country, from small towns and big cities. But they all shared one thing in common. They belonged to a family called Marines, a tough and determined few dedicated to protecting everything we hold sacred. And still, they come. Celebrate the history of those proud few who have earned the title Marine.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Hansen unhesitatingly took the initiative during a critical stage of the action and, armed with a rocket launcher, crawled to an exposed position where he attacked and destroyed a strategically located hostile pillbox. With his weapon subsequently destroyed by enemy fire, he seized a rifle and continued his one-man assault. Reaching the crest of a ridge, he opened fire on 6 Japanese and killed 4 before his rifle jammed. Attacked by the 2 remaining Japanese, he beat them off with the butt of his rifle and then climbed back to cover. Returning with another weapon and supply of grenades, he fearlessly advanced and destroyed a strong mortar position and annihilated 8 more of the enemy.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. Even small actions can make a world of difference. If you know a veteran in crisis, please call the Veterans Crisis Line, 800-273-8255, 800-273-8255. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Well, you shuffle to the left, shuffle to the right, shuffle around the circus till your head feels light.
And we are back here on Veterans Radio. That was Michael J. Martins with his VA Shuffle. The for more information on the USA hockey event, you can go directly to our website. That's veteransradios.net. And there's a link on there to register and get your free tickets and also the phone number that is important for you. I did find it here. Her name is Denise Running, and her number directly is 734-453-6400, extension 333. 734-453-6400, extension 333. And that's for if you'd like to become a sponsor of the Veterans event that, again, is going to be on March 18, 19, and 20. And on the 20th, we will be there. So come on out to the USA Hockey Arena there on Beck Road in Plymouth, Michigan, and you'll get to see how bad-looking we really are. But I encourage you to do that. So go to our website, veteransradio.net. Click on the big display ad that we have on the first page, and you'll get all the information that you need. I appreciate all of that for you. Kind of reviewing what we were talking about, and again, asking all of you, give us a call. If you have a question about, you know, what you think is going to be happening to your disability, you can give us a call here at Veterans Radio. The number is 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. So I was reading an article in it's Military Times is where this one came from, and we just mentioned this earlier on, that what they're looking for in these changing of ratings, especially for the sleep apnea one, is it's to be assessed based on the effectiveness of the treatment and the condition's impact on earning power. So they're really taking this into consideration now. And the second thing was, veterans already receiving disability for these conditions will not, underline twice, see their ratings downgraded by any changes. And that was according to Thomas Murphy, acting VA Undersecretary for Benefits. Veterans who currently receive compensation for a service-connected condition in these body systems will not have their disability ratings impacted. So there. Pay attention. Listen to us. We tell you the truth. I promise you that. We did have a question about a CCAP machine. Could you answer that, Michael?
What's the question?
The question was, if he just, I think he just got a CCAP machine, and he wanted to know, who does he talk to about getting his ratings changed for sleep apnea? Where did it go? Here it is. I just got a CPAP machine. Who should I connect with for rating changes?
When he's saying rating changes, is there an assumption that he's going to get service connected for sleep apnea, or is there? Or is he saying he's already service connected for sleep apnea?
I do not know yet. Let's assume he is. And I don't know what are the ratings that you get for sleep apnea. Doesn't start at 50%. You just mentioned that.
So no, the current rating schedule is 0, 30, 50, and 100.
Mm-hmm. So let's say
a person could be theoretically, if this person is service connected at 0 or 30% and has now been assigned a CPAP machine, that would increase the rating to 50% and or potentially 100. It all depends on if the person meets the criteria for that. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I would refer the person to a county veteran service officer. And if there's no county veteran service officer, then try to reach out to a veteran service officer with a service organization, not a post service officer, an accredited veteran service officer with one of the service organizations.
Okay.
But I think the big element that this veteran needs to consider is it needs to be service connected. So you need to draw the thread, agreed, Michael, to your days of service, whether it was something related to your days in service that you were service connected, that you got the CPAP machine.
Yeah, so in other words, that you were exposed to something somewhere that affected your breathing.
Yes.
Is sleep apnea strictly a breathing thing, or is it, is it connected to something else? I'm asking this as a layman.
It's rated on the rating schedule for respiratory conditions. So it is a breathing condition issue. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The reason I said that, Michael, is I saw a little a crawler there. Maybe this is not the same veteran, but I thought I saw a little crawler that said not service connected. You know, sometimes you will get the CPAP machine, you will have respiratory conditions, but it's not service connected. So that is a concern. You know, you could have sleep apnea. You could have insomnia, but it's not service connected. So that's, those are the lines that I was drawing when I saw that little crawler come across.
Okay. The magic word for everything with the VA benefits program is service connection. So
yes,
you have to figure out, where that problem, began, and then you can, kind of work forward from there. It's and they're not, I haven't had that bad of experience with the VA, other than getting quite a few 0%. Yes, you have this, but it's 0%, which is lucky for me. I mean, I look at it from that stand. I mean, it's lucky. I mean, it could be a whole lot worse based on their definitions of some of these things. For those of you who have never looked at the definitions of some of these disabilities, go try and look up whatever condition you might have. It'll really scare you that you're really lucky.
But I think it's really important when, what Michael described originally, if this veteran is service connected and he's at a 0 or a 30% and he's now received a CPAP machine, go back to whomever assisted you and, you might be entitled to an increased rating. If you are at a 0 and your condition has worsened, then, you might be entitled to an increased rating. Go back and whoever was assisting you, county counselor, VSO, Legal Hub for Veterans, then go back. But the fact you have a 0% service-connected rating, I think is really significant because they have declared that occurred because of your military service. When you get a denial, then you're fighting that element. So that for me is huge going forward.
The other question we touched on this last month was a combination of disabilities and, how sometimes it doesn't boost your overall rating. As an example, I think that, I received a 10%. Yeah, it was 10% for my liver issue, but it didn't boost my total. It just kind of, this is what you get. And it's like they add up 1, 2, and 3, but it doesn't come up to 3. It comes up to 2 still. I don't know how they do that. Can you guys address that a little bit, Michael?
Well, the first thing I'd like to touch on is when the VA says they want to rate or change these the rating schedule for some of these disabilities and make it more consistent with modern science and what they know about treatment and how, especially with sleep apnea, the science shows that people do improve. And so if they improve, they want to make sure that they're rating them accordingly. And then, of course, how it impacts work. Because let's remember this, and I always tell this to veterans. disability compensation from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs that our government, through Congress and the presidents that signed the laws, or signed them into laws, agreed that veterans are at a disadvantage in the marketplace if they have disabilities related to military service. Therefore, that disadvantage in the marketplace is made up for through disability compensation. So basically, I'm 20% disabled, and the VA is saying to me, Smith, your one condition is 0%. What that means is it is not causing you to lose money in the marketplace. So therefore, we're not going to compensate you for that. Mm-hmm. But we're going to recognize this related to military service because that establishes health care. And it also validates the fact that something happened to you in the military. It just hasn't got, it's not so bad right now that the VA feels that it's taking away from your earning capacity. The minute it does, that's where we start at the 10% disabling compensation rate all the way up through the 100%. And not all disabilities are 100% disabling. So that's the reason why the VA has a rating schedule that accounts for this disability and that disability and by bodily system, you know, the endocrine system, the musculoskeletal system, the cardiovascular system. So the VA looks at you as a 100% whole person. So if I rate you 70% for post-traumatic stress disorder, then you are now, there's only 30% left of you to rate. So if your next disability is 20%, it's not 20% of 100, it's 20% of 30. Then whatever that is, let's see, let's go 70. I've got the VA's combined rating schedule right here. It's Code of Federal Regulation 38, Code of Federal Regulation 4.25. It is the combined rating schedule if you want to see how the VA does their fuzzy math. So you take a 70 and you go over to a 20. That gets you 76, because remember, 20% of 30 gets you 6. So they add the 6 to the 70.
Do they round down?
So now in this instance, if those were your only two disabilities, the VA would, anything 5 and above, the VA rounds up. You would be a combined 80.
Okay.
Even though your combination is 76. So anything 75, 76, 77, 78, and 79, the VA rounds up to 80. 74, 73, 72, 71 rounds down to 70.
Indeed. Yep.
So, and that's how they do it. And they go, they've got a combined rating schedule that all you got to do is put one.
He's holding up a book to us.
It's
too bad we're not doing this on TV, right? it's all right there. I know. I have two or three that don't add up to more than half of something. So it's fuzzy math, all right. That's for sure. But it's understandable when you explain it that way. And I think that's really a kind of important as to how it affects your employability, how it affects your lifestyle, and you know your the way that you live your life, and so on and so forth. That it doesn't make sense for you to be, you know, especially if you're still working, or you're still able to work, that you would get 100% disability when you're drawing 100% of your normal pay. Something along those lines, right? Am I kind of making a little sense of that?
Well, I want to caution that, because people can be 100% disabled, right, based on the VA's rating schedule, and rightfully so, but still be functional.
Right.
But there's
be able to still work or work as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. If you know, say for instance, they're 100% on the rating schedule for PTSD. I'm not working anywhere, but I can work from home as a CPA or computer aided design or
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Web page development. So we can't assume that just because a person is 100% that they shouldn't, or able to work, that they shouldn't be getting 100% disability compensation from the VA.
So there's a difference definition between 100% and 100% unemployable.
That is correct.
Yes, definitely.
Caroline, can you explain that to our audience?
So the, again, as you see, the VA has a combined rating schedule. And as I said, disabilities are, some disabilities do not rate all the way up to 100. Some do. I'll give you an example. Mental health disorders, they go 0, 10, 30, 50, 70, 100. Okay. Heart conditions, similar. They go 0, 10, 30, 50, or 40, 60. They go all the way up to 100. Some orthopedic conditions, they only go up to 10, or they only go up to, or tinnitus right now. That's the only evaluation you get is 10. Rating. There is no 20% or 30%. So as you can see, there are some people who could get rated 100% because their disability is that disabling on the schedule of rating is what we call it. We call it a scheduler 100%, or all their disabilities combined to be 100%, as opposed to a person who's getting paid individual unemployability, their disabilities combined to be rated at 70, 80, or 90, but they combine in such a way as to prevent them from being able to obtain and maintain substantially gainful employment. So the VA will pay them the 100%, although their ratings are still 70, 80, or 90%.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a good piece of advice to know, or information. I think that's, this is why we're doing this program for you folks, to try and explain these things to you. Because it is a maze. And I think you have to have a I was going to say a maze leader to get you through the maze. You know, if we try it on our own, it's just like a maze. We just keep running into these dead ends and having to back out and start again. And I think that that's really important. I have one little, need to take a real quick break here for a PSA from the VA on homelessness. And so I wanted to make sure that we got that in today. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio. You got about 10 minutes to get us a question if you have one. So we'll be back in about a minute. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
When COVID-19 hit, I lost my housing and didn't know what to do. Without help from VA, I might be homeless.
Many veterans are facing financial hardship caused by COVID-19, putting them at risk of losing their housing. But VA has resources that can help. VA Supportive Services for Veteran Families Program provides eligible veterans who are homeless or at imminent risk of becoming homeless with financial assistance for rent and utilities and other services to help protect them from housing uncertainty during this pandemic. If you or a member of your household served in the military and need help to stay in or obtain housing, call the National Call Center for Homeless Veterans at 877-4-AID-VET. Due to COVID-19, calling is the best and fastest way to get help. Veterans without access to a phone should visit their closest VA medical center.
We are back here on Veterans Radio, and I just wanted to give that information to you in order to, if you know of anybody who's homeless or is not home, who's having difficulty out there, contact your local VA, and they will be more than happy to help you out. There's all kinds of assistance through the VA health system, through your local VSOs. So again, just kind of repeating what I said earlier on, don't try and go it alone. You've got a lot of people out there that are supporting you that want to help as much as possible. Excuse me. All right. So I had a question. I forget what it was. Oh, I know. The question was, and we've talked about this before, you know, if you get denial or you get a lower claim or a lower percentage than you think it, than you should, has there been any, what's the next step that we take? Either one of you? So if, in other words, let's say theoretically, I got a 10% and I don't agree. I think it should be 30. How do I fight this? And is there a timeline that I have to be aware of? Carol Ann, I'll go to you on this one.
Sure. You get the denial. You go back and you need to go back within a year, but we recommend you go back, whether it's the VSO, county counselor that helped you. Hopefully you didn't do it yourself. Come back to Legal Help for Veterans. Let us know that you got denied. We'll look at you know, what the information was. A lot of times we get the veteran that did it on their own, and maybe they didn't have the correct information sometimes, and we'll go back and put it in. But to keep the date alive so you could go back, you need to put it in within a year to go back and get new evidence why you, you know, don't agree with the VA's ruling.
Okay, we just got a note here on a Facebook, on a message on Facebook, and it's probably a little information missing here, but it says, I had my shoulder replaced at the Ann Arbor VA this time last year. I was just informed I should have received 100% payment while I was recovering, which I don't think I was receiving. Got to check his bank account there. Another person said I should have gotten 100% for a year.
Wait. Okay, so that one's an easy one. I think Michael will agree. But you just don't get things automatically. Okay, so that's the convalescence. And if the individual, you need to put in forms to say, okay, I had the surgery. If he has a disability, let's say, whatever, you put in the forms that he had convalescence, he had surgery. Things don't just happen automatically. You need to put in the forms that, you know, Michael Smith had surgery this day, and then he would go to 100% after, within a certain period of time after the recovery, it goes back to the certain level. You don't keep it for, you know, for the its entirety for the rest of your life.
Okay, so I think you answered the question. It says, my downtime till back to work was roughly 6 months. Who should I reach out to at the VA to verify and get the pay if owed? You need to file a claim, right?
You've got to go
to somebody.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael?
That is correct, yeah. So there are two separate ratings. There's a period of convalescing, and that's separate than what this person needs to be concerned about. This is automatic. When there's a replacement of certain joints, like a shoulder, the VA rating schedule counts for a 100% for 1 year, a temporary rating for 100 years from the date of the replacement. So in order to get that, the veteran has to file a claim for that. The VA hospital, or the even if they did the surgery, they are required to report to the VA Veterans Benefits Administration. So if he had a surgery done outside of the VA, then he has to let the VA know that he had the surgery so that he gets that 100%. And he can do it still within this year of his surgery. And it'll go back to the date of his discharge from surgery.
Okay. All right. So that makes sense.
And he needs the discharge summary and the surgical report to submit with the claim.
Okay. And the VA... I guess to make things simple, the VAs don't file claims for disability. VA health system does not file a claim for your disability.
No. And you know what? They're not going to tell you things. And so if there's one magic date that, you know, if somebody dies, we tell survivors, if you're going to put in for something, you got to do it within a year. What Michael just described, you got to put it in within a year. So a year sometimes is a magic window. You know, that's a good thing to remember.
Okay, so we would encourage this person to make sure that his claim has been filed. That would be the first thing that we have to come up with. And if he had the surgery around this time last year, hopefully it was closer to now than it was further back in time.
Yes.
I hate to have to lose a whole year.
Yeah, let's hope it's not later than a year ago.
Okay, that makes sense. So so if they replace anything, like if I had another hip replacement, theoretically I could get it, I would be entitled to disability during my recovery time. Is that right?
There were two, that rating schedule was updated. I can't remember which two joints it affected. I want to say it was hips and knees. You don't get the 100%.
You don't get anything for a hip, right?
You only get 40%. You get it for less than a year now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
That proposed change went into effect last year, and the VA snuck that one in and caught us all by surprise.
Another VA example of the VA shuffle. All right, we're coming up to the end of another program on benefits. We want to make sure people mark down in your calendar the last Sunday of every month is our benefits program. So if you have any questions that you want to ask, make sure you get them into us, hopefully in that week before or any time, and I will pass them along. If you send them along to me, that's dale@veteransradio.net. I will forward them on to General Falzone and to Michael, and we'll get your questions answered, or at least we'll find out where the truth lies. If you're in another part of the country, we probably have contacts with VSOs everywhere, and we'll help you out with that. So I have one more minute to go. So you got 10 seconds for a last comment from both of you. General Falzone?
Well, I hope I could do this in 10 seconds. I want to give a big shout out to Tom Houck. He is a Legion of Honor recipient in Canton, Michigan. We're hoping to find out that the French Legion is coming, the French Embassy, to finally give him his Legion of Honor. The COVID really stopped everything, and they're doing a documentary on him. So I'm hoping that occurs soon. I'll keep you posted.
Okay, so we're coming down to the end. Michael, anything we need to know?
That public comment period ends on April 18th. So if people want to comment on these proposed rule changes for the VA, there's still time to make those comments.
And that's it. That's all I got for you. Okay. Thank you all very much for being on the program. We'll be back next week. This is Dale for Veterans Radio.